Wow. So whenever you think that God has a word for you, I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, I've got to go find a corner somewhere and get with God. And, you know, I've got to just hear what he's saying. Okay. Well, yes, you know, we do have to become more attentive to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit lives in us. We don't have to go somewhere. We don't have to go off, you know, on top of a mountain somewhere where no one is to hear from God. Okay, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. And when he wants to speak to us, a lot of times what he wants to do is speak through us to other people. And so we become so self-focused and, oh God, what am I supposed to be doing? You know what you're supposed to be doing. The thing is that you need to do it. Okay. And so, for example, whenever you begin to preach or teach, that is when what I have found is that's the greatest time when God speaks to you, when he's speaking through you. And you get up to speak or you talk to someone on the phone. If you minister to people on the phone, which I do a lot, I just, you know, they have issues and problems. And so, you know, I just tell them, you know, it just starts coming out of me what God wants them to hear. And as I am telling them what God wants them to hear, you know, words of encouragement or anything like that, then God, you know, is speaking to me as well, because it's like, wow, you know, wow, I needed to hear that too, you know, because I'm going through the same thing that they're going through, and I didn't realize until I heard it come out of their mouth, the issue that they're dealing with, and then I gave them the answer to the issue that they were dealing with. And so, you know, and it brought them encouragement, and God spoke through me to help someone else. So, okay, once you die, okay, once you understand the concept of death, once you realize it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Once you realize this is not even about you anymore. Okay, we lose the self-focus and me, and oh, I'm having such a bad time, and look what's going on in my life, and you know, nobody understands me, and I just can't seem to get through to my family, and I just can't seem to get through to these people. Okay, just die, get over yourself, forget about you, forget about what you want. Forget about your family. Do you understand? When you receive Jesus, when you truly are born again, when you truly accept Jesus as Lord over your life, that means you begin to look after the needs of others. Yes, we don't abandon our family. I'm not saying to abandon your family. However, I am saying in the Bible it declares that no one who has ever left house or home or family or loved ones for the sake of the gospel have not ever, you know, received double, you know. And so, you know, when Jesus called his disciples, a lot of them, it said that he called them and they were in the boat with their father, and immediately, because his words were spirit and they were life, immediately they left the boat and their father and they followed Jesus. And we don't hear this in the church anymore. And we hear, you know, put your family first. And, you know, even Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? He said, those who do the will of God. And I'm telling you that people are placing their families and they're placing their homes and they're placing their businesses and they're placing things around them to a higher standard than what God has called us to do. And he said, why do you say unto me, Lord, Lord, and do not do as I have commanded you to do? And I'm telling you that Mark 16:15 is a commandment, and he has commanded us to go forth in the name of Jesus, to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. And I'm telling you, there's people around you, yeah, they don't get it. They don't understand, but it's not about them. You know what? It is about the gospel. And until you come out of yourself and get in Jesus, you're never going to know what it's like to live this life of complete and absolute abandonment to him. And he's calling forth people from all over the world, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, into complete abandonment for him and for the sake of the gospel. And they're going to lay their lives down, and they're going to take up his life, and they're going to take up his high life, and they're going to lay down their low life. And you're not going to know what it's like to live for Jesus until you die for Jesus, because you're never going to know what the supernatural is going to look like until you realize that you can't even do this on your own. You do not have the capabilities within yourself. You can be self-confident. You can have all the degrees in the world, and you do not have this in you. Yes, you can go places. Yes, you can go far in life with your degrees. Yes, you can go far in life with money. But let me tell you something. You are not going to make it. What good is it to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? And I'm telling you that once you die to your selfishness, once you die to your foolishness, once you realize this isn't about you, this is about what Christ wants to do through you, this is about touching the lives of others, this is about leading other people to Christ. And once you get over yourself and realize, you know what? There are people in need. There are people that are dying. There are people under bridges. They are homeless. They are sick. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear it in demonstration and in power. And they need to know that Jesus is real. And they need to know that someone like you is going to go forth and you're going to die to what you want. And they're just waiting for the manifestation. I'm telling you, the earth is groaning. And I know that's why all these earthquakes are going on. And tsunamis and all kinds of stuff that are going on in the earth, because it says in the Bible that the earth is groaning. It is groaning. It is groaning. It is groaning for the manifestation of sons and daughters to awaken, to arise from this slumber, to awaken from this place of indecision and of slumber and of slack and of fear and confusion and torment and chaos. And he's calling us to awaken from our slumber. And he's calling us to be sons of the living God. And he's calling us to walk upright as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he's calling us forth in the mighty name of Jesus. And no weapon, no devil, no hell, no witchcraft can stand against us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he wants us to move, and he wants us to go, and he wants us to preach, and he wants us to teach, and he wants us to cast out devils, and he wants us to raise the dead, and he wants us to heal the sick, and he wants us to do all these things. And I'm telling you, he's waiting. He's waiting for you to step out in faith and to know that he is with you and he is for you, and your life is hid in Christ Jesus, and there is no thing, no problem too big for God that he cannot handle, that he cannot fix. And so he is using you. Do you know why he chose to use you? To confound the wise. He uses the weak to confound the wise. He uses the small to confound the wise. Because you know what? If you could do this, you could get the credit. This isn't about you. This isn't about you getting credit. This isn't about popularity. This isn't about fame. This isn't about fortune. This is about death. And so you gotta die. You've gotta die. You've gotta die. You've gotta die. In order to live for Christ, you are going to have to die. I'm telling you, nobody is preaching this. Nobody is teaching this. Nobody is speaking this. Nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to know this. But I'm telling you, you have to die in Jesus' name so that you can live for Christ, so that you can live on fire for Jesus and do the works of Jesus. And it's time now. It's time. It's time to go forth. It's time. It's time to set your feet on solid ground. It is time to move forth in the power and the authority of God. It is time to set the captives free. It is time to release the rivers of living water out of your belly, shall flow rivers of living water. And it is time. It's high time. It's high time that the church steps into this. It's high time that the church goes forth. It's high time that we move out of complacency. It's high time that we get out of the church and start being the church. It's high time that he begin to do the miraculous through us. And it's high time that people look and they say, how could it be? How did she do that? Where, you know, how did this happen? We know who she was. We know what she did. We know how she was. We know what, you know, was going on with her, and we knew everything about her life. So how did this happen? So we point to the Most High God, and we say, it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died, who gave himself up for me. And we're going to point to him, and we're going to point to Jesus, and people are going to be drawn by the words that we speak, because the words that we speak, they are spirit and they are life, and they bring life to them around us, and they bring peace. And some people, I'm telling you, the words that Jesus spoke, yes, some people accepted it, but what about the people that didn't accept it? What about the people who thought he should be for them? For example, the Pharisees. What about the Jews that were practicing all these things? What about the people in the temple? What about the ones who thought they were holy? What about the ones that were that were supposed to be the religious, righteous leaders of their day, and they were nothing but self-righteous hypocrites who their father was the devil, and Jesus came forth and he called himself God, and they said only God has the power to forgive men of their sins, and he said he had forgiven someone of their sins, and he had done it on the Sabbath, and they were quite angry with him. They were ready to put him up, you know, to slaughter at that point. And, you know, he set people free even on the Sabbath day. And it totally made the pharisaical religious devils mad. And I'm telling you, you're going to make some pharisaical religious devils mad. And it ain't about them. It's not, you know what? They're keeping people in bondage by their laws, by their traditions of men, by their vain traditions of men that are of no effect, that have no power, that have no authority, and they've got all these traditions, and they're teaching people all this stuff, and it's keeping people in bondage, and they'd rather see people bound as free, and they'd rather see people in religion than free in Jesus, and they'd rather see people dead than free. And I'm sick of the religious system. And I tell you, I hate the religious system. I hate religion. I hate what religion has done to humanity. I hate the wars that religion has caused all over the world, in Ireland, in Lebanon, in Israel, in Palestine, in Pakistan, in Iraq, all over the world, people are dying because of religion. And I hate what religion has done. And I've seen religion destroy lives. I've seen religion destroy hearts. I've seen religion destroy families. And I've seen religion destroy people and lead them into all kinds of sin and lead them into all kinds of lies, and they're leaning now towards all this new age mysticism and mind over matter and Wayne Dyer and all of these new age occult leaders who the devil, I'm telling you, it's the devil because it's demonic, and he's raising these people up. But I'm telling you that God has an army, and he showed me that army in 2008. He called me to preach, and I was in the Catholic Church, and everybody absolutely made fun of me, laughed at me, mocked me, ridiculed me. And so I said, well, Jesus, where am I supposed to preach? And he sent me into the highways, and he sent me into the byways, and I met people on the streets. And one of the first two people that I met was a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending me a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon. And I began to preach the gospel, and one of them was in a wheelchair, and I spoke life to her, and I commanded her to walk in Jesus' name. And she walked, not very far, but she walked. And so the Jehovah's Witness and I, we were just having this flesh war fight. And she said, Jesus is not God. And I said, yes, Jesus is God. And she said, no, Jesus is not God. And I said, yes, Jesus is God. And we were just going back and forth. And let me tell you, the Jehovah's Witness knew a lot more about the Bible than the Mormon did. And I'm telling you, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they know a lot more about the Bible, even though they're gravely deceived. And they do not believe that Jesus came to this earth. They do not celebrate Christmas. They do not believe that Jesus is Lord. They do not believe that in the Trinity. They do not believe that Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit. I don't even think they believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in hell. They only believe that 144,000 are going to be going to heaven, which is 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses. They are gravely deceived by the devil. It is a deceptive religion. And so God sent me into the highways and byways, and then I got a job working under a grant and working with young mothers. And I would go into their homes, and I went into the poorest homes, and I went into meth homes and crack baby homes and drug baby homes and just the poorest of poor places that I went to, and I ministered to these mothers. And you know, I was under a grant, and so I couldn't speak about Jesus, and because we would lose our funding if we talked about Jesus. But I went into these homes and I said, God, it's just me and these girls. I don't care. You've called me to preach. I'll preach here. And I would pray over their children, and I would talk about Jesus. And a lot of them had unforgiveness in their hearts, and I said, you have to forgive, and you know, Jesus loves you. And I went under extreme persecution with this lady that I worked for, and she was writing me up, and you know, she said, don't talk about Jesus, and she hated God, and she had just demonic things going on with her, and she said, stop talking about Jesus. We can't talk about Jesus here. And we can't talk about abortion. We can't talk about all this stuff. And she said, we have grant funding and you're not supposed to talk about that kind of stuff and we'll get our funding taken away from us. And I said, no, I have to talk about Jesus. God has called me to preach and I have to talk about Jesus. And so she started to send letters and have some of the young moms send letters about me and she tried to get me fired and I seen God and how his arm was always upon me and his hand was always upon me and he always spared my job and I seen him spare me so many times in that place because he had called me to that place. I know that he had called me to that place and he spared my job But anyway, that was pretty awesome.